everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dolcetter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is January the 24th at 2013, and today we were going to talk about goals and productivity strategies for your coaching, and also, let's see, our next call will be on, it's always the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so the next one will be February. Yeah, February 14th, I guess it's Valentine's Day. I hope that's okay for everyone. And it'll morning time. I guess people tend to do things in the evening for Valentine's Day. So we'll we can talk about love for our clients. So any topics that you're interested in us discussing, too, just feel free to let me know and on this call or by email, and I can bring those up, so and we can talk about them. I want to talk about topics that are relevant to you. So, I think Brian, you had a question that you were thinking of.
I do. Thanks. Yeah. Basically, because I live in a state where there is no professional sport whatsoever, I need to focus my attention on high schools and universities. So to that end, I've been contacting all of the department heads within sports teams, and the athletic director at the University of Arkansas has contacted me because they liked the email I sent to them outlining what we do and how it's done. And so they are thinking about developing a performance team and building a peak performance center, and they've invited me to come in 2 weeks' time to present the full range of services I have, but they want me to focus on case studies for drugs and alcohol abuse. I think that is something very timely for them because two of their MVPs, one from baseball, another one from basketball, were recently arrested for underage drinking, I think. So in this center they're setting up, they want a sports psychology consultant to look after the kids, I guess, not only in peak performance, but also counsel them. So I need to present, and I don't have any clients yet. I'm only recently qualified. For all I've been in training for a lot of my career, I know how to present, but this is not a topic I've dealt with. So I'm reaching out basically for advice and assistance in any way you can give it. I've got to give a PowerPoint presentation to last not longer than 20 minutes. So, mic open now. It's 20 minutes is the presentation actual, but the meeting lasts an hour and they want me in on the whole meeting. To talk about strategy for the center. So.
For alcohol and drug issues with
yes.
athletes?
Excuse me, yes.
Yeah, and when is that? It's coming right up?
Yeah, well, I'm going on my belated honeymoon this Saturday for a week, and this meeting is on Monday, February 11th.
Okay.
And the dean of the school will be present. So it's the athletic director. You can imagine head coach for basketball, baseball, soccer, rugby, you name it. They're all in the meeting, and they've identified this new peak performance center. The number one most important position to fill is a sports psychology consultant. So that's what I'm gunning for.
That can be you. Oh, my goodness. So it could be an actual full-time paid position? Or
it could be, but I'm only in this state for another 9 to 12 months. So I'm going to tell them I'm a location-free consultant. I cannot commit to a position, but I can for the next, for the foreseeable future, work with them and do it externally and visit them. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with them, which is the most important thing. Somehow create an opportunity for myself. You can imagine that's the number one thing.
Right. Yeah. You're doing a fantastic job, Ryan, with getting an opportunity going here. And this topic applies to everyone in terms of making presentations for different topics that you can do for, making a presentation to whether it's a school or a doctor's office or a sports team, it's good to, well, first of all, you want to define or kind of ask yourself, what is the outcome? What would you like to come out of this presentation? You know, what would you like to happen afterwards, sort of your call to action or your, I guess you said a little bit about what that is, that you'd like to get hired as their sort of consultant?
That's what I'm visualizing. You know, I've spent plenty of time imagining this and visualizing it. And ultimately, I want them to be so impressed with my broad-based knowledge, they are falling over themselves to offer me a job. But at the same time, of course, I'm going to make it clear I'm an external consultant. I have my own, so I'm self-employed. That's how I want to keep it. But by all means, I want to work with them. So I want them to be, you know, and this is very modest, but I want them to think they cannot do this without me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I think that you've got a tremendous opportunity here. And so the best thing that you could do, well, before the presentation is ask a lot of questions. You may have done some of that already. If you can ask them questions by email, that's always a good way. You know, just come up with a list of questions. And also on the phone, you could interview different people from the organization to find out what their kind of private thoughts are about this topic. And, I mean, they want you to present about the alcohol and drug abuse, but it could go beyond that, as you say, like just to be a general sports psychology consultant, to address many issues. So you could ask questions about, what kind of challenges are you having in this area? With the drug and alcohol, and then what challenges are you having generally? What are your goals? What is this costing you? I mean, that's a good. That's always a good question for. Getting them to want your services, having this problem of whatever the problem is, the alcohol and drug abuse issue, what is that costing you in terms of, athletes and, loss of reputation? Sounds like if these two, can you hear me okay? Can you hear, is my voice loud enough there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Because I think last time they said the volume wasn't high enough here. I'll try to talk close to the microphone, or let me know if you can't hear me, and I can turn up the volume. Ask what is it costing you to, with this issue? like if these two guys have been arrested for drug and alcohol abuse, that obviously was probably in the paper and publicized, and so. Which really hurts their reputation at the school, and that's when usually when a major problem happens like that, that's when people feel like they have to do something, or make some changes, or like you say, get a sports psychology consultant in or a mental training person to help. So find out what you want to try to get at their pain. What it is that's costing them with this issue in terms of, bad publicity, the reputation, their loss of, if they have to, maybe they have to pay for rehabilitation or if these athletes were on a scholarship, they've been paying for their education and now they're not. If they're arrested, they may not be able to play or perform for the team, so that's kind of a loss in terms of money that they put out for the school, and then not being able to get the, performance from the athlete, and, problems in terms of the, politics going on and the all those things. So it's good to ask those kind of questions, and then ask about their goals. And again, for all of you, this is a general formula for making any kind of presentation beforehand. You want to try to interview people in any way that you can to write, because the goal is to try to get their language and their specific you know, what the inside story, so that you then become an insider. When you're doing the presentation, you already know, you know, their problems and what they're facing, and their as much as you can. You can't, of course, be an expert in 2 weeks, but as much as possible, become an insider to anything that's going on there. And if you know of some of their successes, then you can ask about that. You know, past successes, maybe they won some championships, so you want to be able to, you know, congratulate them on that, and that makes you an insider as well. You know, to ask them about their goals. You could do what's called a pre-programmed questionnaire. You know, you can actually send to them, and I can send that to you. Actually, I'll put that. Yeah, I can send it to put it in the members area there. Yeah, you can do that today. You actually ask various questions for finding out. I call it a PPQ. Questions that finding out, like if it's an hour meeting, you want to find out who's speaking, you know, before you, and who's speaking after you, so you can kind of adjust, you know, transition into your talk. Is the whole meeting about this topic of the alcohol and drug abuse, or just your part of the talk, Brian?
No, I think the meeting is about moving forward with their plans for a peak performance center, because it's been approved in principle. And then I'm simply a cog in the wheel, presenting topics that could be covered within the center. And they want case studies of how I have dealt with you know, elite athletes on drug and alcohol abuse. Well, the reality is I have not.
Okay. It would be ideal if you could find someone to work with real quickly in the next couple of weeks before you give the talk. If you could offer a free session or something to I don't know, anyone at that university, or maybe another institution, a high school or something, just call up another institution and ask if you could offer services, that you could offer your assistance to help someone who's in that area. But you can also, you know, offer case studies I actually did my internship, my postdoctoral internship at Stanford University Drug and Alcohol Center myself, so I'm an expert in this area, and it worked with people for a year who were rehabilitating from drugs and alcohol. And so, it's a real challenging area, but when you talk about it with athletes, then it's, it's more relevant to what we do, and it's more of a problem than people realize. It's probably, especially with football and baseball and basketball, you said, where the guys were arrested?
Yeah, it's every sport in the school. There are about 400 athletes that would have access to the center. So it's baseball, basketball. They have a golf team, men's and women's. So, it's every sport any college does. I don't think it's going to exclude any of the sports.
Yeah, so I'd say try to do your research ahead of time and find out. You can ask them, you can ask them to, or you can go online to see if you get any information from them about the issues. You can go on their website and just look at any kinds of issues. You could you can ask them things like, what's on the program just before you speak? What happens right after you speak? Sometimes the meeting end and begin. What do you want me to include in my presentation? Kind of thing. Try to be as specific as you can. Find out what the conference theme is and the specific purpose of the meeting. Well, you've got basically there. What do you and ask them what are you hoping to accomplish in this meeting, you know, the whole meeting, and then in with your presentation. That's a really important question to ask. And what do you think, why do you think I'll be an asset to this meeting as your speaker? So that's a good question, Deb. Why are they seeking you out? And that can give them, you know, more reason to listen to you.
Wow.
And hear you. What was that?
There's a lot of background noise going on. I can hardly hear anything you're saying.
Oh, okay. If someone else, let's see. While I'm talking here, sorry. Let me think. Oh, Ryan, are you on the call too, Ryan Royer?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Good. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Let's see. Well, while I'm talking here for a second, I'll just put it on lecture mode so I can cut out the background noise. Sorry about that. Somebody, I guess there's different background noise, but I'll put on lecture mode, and then if you want to ask, and then I'll just take it off in a second here so you can ask more questions. Okay, and so then you want to ask, for those of you just joining us, we're talking about Brian's question about if you're giving a presentation and what, which applies to every one of you, what to say and how to do sort of what I call a PPQ, pre-programmed questionnaire, so that you become an insider and you become a really find out what their goals, what their needs are, and you can customize your talk more, your presentation more to exactly what they want. So, you know, you want to ask them, the specific purpose of the meeting, what's the theme, what are you hoping to accomplish with this meeting, and then with, you know, your specific part of the presentation. So that really gets at what they want you to say and maybe what they don't want you to say too, you know. All those things can come into it. And then asking, why do you think I'd be an asset to your meeting? And what topics are most relevant, do you think, helpful to your attendees? You know, what specific topics, if they want you to talk just about the alcohol and drug issue, or also I think it'd be good if you could also throw in how you could be an asset to them with, you know, how you could be an asset to them with other things, you know, working with Peak Performance, since they're starting this Peak Performance Center, and, you could kind of come up with your own vision of what this Peak Performance Center could have and the different things that you could offer there. I'd encourage you to brainstorm of all the different ways that you could be of help to them, maybe as a, you know, working one-on-one with some athletes, working in a group, working by phone, like you say, as a consultant, external consultant, giving talks. You could give, if you're away somewhere else moving, you could give webinars or teleseminars. Tell them you don't have to be physically there all the time at that center, but you could be, that's the great thing about webinars and teleseminars these days. You can be anywhere. And if you have any articles that you've written, you could give them those. That'd be great to give them a sample of your writing. And then ask them, are there any particular topics or ideas that I should address during my program? That's a good question to ask. Asking, what are you hoping to accomplish with my particular program? So that's a really important thing to ask them, so they really try to get specific about what it is that you want to accomplish. And ask, are there any particular topics? And then, are there any sensitive issues that I should be avoided? You know, if there's certain people's names you're not supposed to mention, or certain issues that are, that they don't want you to talk about, that's good to just ask so that you don't step on people's toes, or so that you're politically correct, because if you're coming in for as an outsider, you want to kind of know those things in advance. And then what's the overall, this is a good question too, what's the audience's overall opinion regarding the subject of my presentation? So, thinking, what do they think should be done about this, the alcohol and drug issue, and are they sort of favorable? Are they hostile? Are they neutral? Asking what's their opinion about this subject. So they probably have some preconceived opinions already what needs to be done, and so you know, you kind of want to know what you're up against, what you're facing there. And then you could ask, what are some specific industry-specific terms or phrases or jargon or you know, acronyms that I might incorporate into my program? So things that they might say, or things that you could say. There might be, you know, every institution usually has a few words or phrases that they know. And if you can learn, you know, just use a couple of those, you know, that really helps to have you be an insider. They feel like, wow, he really understands our issues here. And then you can ask, please list any humorous buzzwords or pet peeves or inside jokes that I might use as humorous material. It's all, if you can bring in, of course, this is kind of a pretty serious topic with the alcohol and drug issue, but if there's a point where you can use tasteful humor that's sort of local for them, then that's a great thing. And then, you know, what should I know about the people in your group before I start my program? Are there any problems or competition? Or, you know, that sort of thing, if you can find out anything about that. That's always good to know. And this is, of course, some of this is more relevant to if you're doing a longer program, you know, a whole day or something. But still, you know, the more you can customize it, know more about them, the better. You know, just ask about their challenges and their breakthroughs. And here's a good question. What are the most significant things on their minds as they come to this meeting? So that's a great question to ask them in an email or if you're interviewing people individually. What are the most significant things on their minds as they're coming to this meeting? Well, obviously it's a drug and alcohol issue, but maybe there's other things too, or other things behind that that have led up to this. Maybe it's grades too, you know, that kids are, if they're doing drug and alcohol, they're also, you know, the grades are falling down. That might be an issue. Other behaviors that they want to address. And then ask what separates your high-performance people from others, you know, like your high-performance athletes from the others. What is it that they're doing that is different from the others? So, you know, finding those kinds of things out can help you to work with, you know, making people giving solutions to those things. So, yeah, and you can say, tell me about your, you know, the whole school, the problems, the challenges, the breakthroughs, and then tell me about your organization, like the athletic director, the athletic program itself, you know, their programs and problems, challenges, and their breakthroughs. And then what are the greatest accomplishments of this group? And you could ask things like, what are the current projects in this group, like what's coming up in terms of, you know, school, you know, big program, big competitions that are coming up this year, significant events, all of that. So those are just, I know that's a real, this is a real comprehensive kind of pre-programmed questionnaire, but just you might pick out some of the questions in here and ask your group those questions. And then I'll email this to all of you, the pre-programmed questionnaire that I have that I use for before my talks for, you know, all different kinds of organizations. And so you can have this. It's really a good questionnaire, I think, for addressing any group. And for getting gigs, you know, like Pam, you've got that wonderful group, you know, working with your soccer group in Vermont, and you know, workshops, 8 of those workshops, which is fantastic. And so you must have been doing all these right things, some of these great things there too. So those are some of the questions. I'll put this in the members area and also email it to you, so you've got you know, all those questions. But I think they're good ones. Is that here? I'll take this off mute here. Is that kind of helpful for you, Brian?
Yeah, it is. I think I covered most of the things you've brought up. I was on the call with the athletic director for about 2 hours, so he and I are going to meet for coffee before I present. So you have given me more than a few things I can add and question him about. Yeah, great questions, no doubt. Look forward to getting the questionnaire. That's great. Yeah, and I'm also a little conscious of they want my resume, which is great because I've got a great training background. But I emailed you about this. You know, when you're honest with people, which I always am. Well, I got qualified, 6-8 weeks ago, and that's going to bear out on my resume, obviously. Or I need to be creative in this because this is such a huge opportunity that I really want to fulfill. So I'm looking at it, very holistically and making sure that I leave no stone unturned. But I loved your idea about contacting other people in the organization and asking them specific questions about, the significant issues they're facing and what's been tried and tested and what are the cost issues. So, there's some great stuff for me to follow up with there, definitely.
Yeah, and I'd say if you can make your presentation interactive, as opposed to just one way talking, that's much better. Give a little bit of information and then do a Q&A and ask them some questions. So the more that people interact with you and ask questions, then the more likely they are to hire you, or I think, and to get really be able to get a sense of who you are when they're speaking with you one-on-one with questions. So I'd say always have a even though it's a short presentation time there, give a chance to do the Q&A at the end, or you can do, two short topics and then have a little Q&A after each topic. Just create some interaction there. Or you can do a little exercise and ask them to do something and write down some of the major questions or something and have them do something that's interactive that'll get them involved. So great, okay, and you've got your certification that you can show them too from this program, and if they need to, need to be a reference for you, I'm happy to do that too. And with all of you, I'm happy to back you up if you've got a job or consulting opportunity, and they need me to, say what a wonderful person you are and a great certified coach. I'm happy to do that to support you too. So fantastic, great work, Brian.
Thank you.
Consulting opportunity here. Yeah, and great questions. Yeah, I know TJ, you had a question too from last time. Did you want to ask your question?
If you can just talk about it briefly. It's just a question about pricing myself, because I'm working with a couple of guys and their company's called Animal Athletics, and they do kind of local trips, trail running stuff, and they do a boot camp like 3 or 4 days a week for runners, and they have offered me free boot camp, like as much as I want to, which is great, as many times a week as I want to go to boot camp with them. And, in exchange, I want to work with their athletes because they work with marathoners and ultra marathoners and a lot of trail runners. And I want to work with their athletes doing performing edge training. And I'm just trying to figure out how to price myself so that I'm not costing too much, because they offer their package. Their coaching packages are, I think they start at $50 a week. And so I want to get myself in with them without undercutting myself and my own skills too much, but not overpricing myself. So I'm thinking around $45 or $50 for a session, which includes, of course, the MP3 files that we make. And I'm just wondering what other people think about that and what you think about it. I know you emailed me back, if you had anything else to add about that, because people sign up with them for, months at a time. And so I'd like to see people 3 or 4 times, or even 5 times if possible, over the course of a couple of months. And so I guess timing is also a question. So two big questions.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for you and TJ, and it's fantastic that you're working that out with them. And yeah, if you can do a a little higher price for one session, or if they do three sessions, make it a little bit lower, or five sessions, slightly lower kind of thing. That's always a package deal kind of thing. It's always a good way to go. And you could do shorter. You could do the just decide how long you want to make the session. It doesn't have to be an hour. It could be 30 minutes or 40 minutes, 45 minutes kind of thing, depending on how they're but oftentimes I guess you can make it 45 minutes and then be flexible if they have a lot of issues. If it seems to go over time, you can throw in a little bit extra time at the end to kind of build that relationship. And because that first session is always real critical in terms of if you do a really good job with that and they build a great rapport, then often they want to continue with you. So I think that you probably want to make your pricing compatible with what they're already paying for the Animal Athletics boot camp. And so, and if you want to get in the door kind of thing, you can always start. I think in general, it's a good principle to start lower as a price, and then as you get more well known and there, then you can raise your prices kind of thing once every 6 months or so as you get more in demand. So I think it's a great idea, and then you can get testimonials from them. And you could get, if you're working, would you be working with them in person or by phone?
In person, because almost everyone is right here in Portland.
Uh-huh. So would you go, would they come to your office?
Yeah. Yeah, they would come to my office.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Would it be just for Performing Edge coaching then? Or?
Yeah. Just for the coaching. I've told them I'm not interested in doing massage therapy work with them because I'm really trying to transition down from that a little bit and get more into this. They've got other therapists, massage therapists that they can work with. But you just do one session with someone and kind of see how it goes, and then let them kind of decide to come back for three more or five more. Is that generally how you operate?
Yeah, oftentimes what I'll say to someone is, if you, it's so much for one session, or if you'd like to, it works really well if you'd like to do four sessions, for the month, then it's take a little bit off each one and say it's this amount for, like for instance, $175 for one session, and then if you want to do four, and then it works really well to do four sessions, and I'll say it's $600 for four sessions, so $150 each, or that's at a higher level that I'm sort of charging at, or I'll say $795 for four sessions kind of thing, so about $200 a session, and but if you want to start out, to create a little better price for that first session. But if you're just wanting to get new clients and get started with it, if it's an organization like this, which is a great opportunity, then I'd say lower price, like you said, the 45 to 50 sounds good, and then you'll get known, and then I think fairly quickly you could raise your price up, kind of thing. Yeah, that would be great, because then it looks like you have the word would get around because they've got lots of people, and then you could get more volume kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and you might consider it,
since it's a group kind of thing, you could do a group or down the road think about doing a group mental boot camp or group presentation or something, where they all pay so much for a whole group thing. But
that's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, and then from that you can get individual clients kind of thing. Yeah.
All right, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps. Thanks.
Good, yeah. Anyone else have input for TJ as far as pricing goes?
No.
Pam?
No, it's right on, and I think if you start lower, you'll get more, and then you can raise your prices. It's a matter of getting clients first.
Yeah, because they're getting that reputation out there. And I'd always
try
to make sure you get a some sort of testimonial. Just ask, you could ask, was this helpful for you, and or what, in what ways was it helpful? And you can just write down there's what they say, and say, would it be okay if I just use that, and you know, your statements to comments to be able to help others, kind of thing. And most people, I've never had anyone say no, kind of thing. You could do it that way, text kind of thing, or if someone seems outgoing, you could just, I have my video camera, and, you know, after maybe a couple sessions kind of thing, two, three sessions, if you've got some results, say, would you mind just giving a, a helpful comment about how this was, helpful for you, and most people will be happy to, say something into a video camera kind of thing, so you
mm-hmm.
can put that on your site kind of thing. Yeah, so.
All right, thanks.
So great, yeah, congratulations with that. Are they, so you got getting started with that soon, or are you already started?
Yeah, they want to get me up on their website as soon as possible, so I just need to figure out my pricing and write a little paragraph about what it is that I do, and they'll pick it up on their website, so.
You could put your name, if you can get your picture there, something, if they allow that, that's better, because people relate to you as a person that
uh-huh.
way. And if you have room to put the little certification seal kind of thing, even a small one, that gives credibility too, or the PECI certification, or link to your
site.
Yeah, and then link to your site, your Performing Edge Coach site, which looks great, or the page on there. So good, okay, great.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, good job, TJ, yeah. And so I was going to, anyone else have questions they want to ask, burning questions? Or I'll talk about the productivity here, my steps for that, and then we can, if questions come up, you can bring in some more questions here. So write down your questions as you get them here, and then I'll put this in lecture mode here so we can have a good, clear recording, and then we'll open it up for questions here. So there's I call it a sort of a principle of sort of the rule of three that I've talked a little bit about before. I think it's important for productivity. The mind, that number three is the kind of a key number for the mind. Our minds, our brain can take in the number three really easily, and if you think of 10 things, oh God, I've got to do 10 things today. It's just oftentimes it's overwhelming, and we just say, it's just too many, and we don't do any of them. But if you can think of three, it's a some people, the number five works well too, to get five things done or three things, but three is something that's really doable. And then if you can move up to doing five, that's fantastic. But the idea is that there's a few different steps. And the first thing is, choose a project or something that you want to complete. For, let's say, it could be something just this week, like Brian, you've got your presentation you're putting together, or TJ, you've got your animal athletics, Pam, you've got your soccer workshops, and you choose, like, you might be putting together presentations for that. So choose one project that you want to, that you're working on, and then, of course, usually when you're doing a project, it's made up of more than one task or more than just one action. So so it looks like this, you know, actions and then, you know, it's a particular action and then a task, and then that leads to bigger projects. So after you've identified your project, you know, the major thing that you want to do, then you want to break it down into tasks that you do each day. Okay, what do I need to do for this task? Let's say one, you know, for example, a project might be to get, you know, a few new clients next month or next 3 months. And so you break that down into tasks that you do each day, and each task that you complete, you know, gets you closer to completing that project that it's associated with. And the key is to, I think, just focus on three tasks each day, because it takes, you know, usually more than one task to complete, you know, a project. And sometimes it takes many tasks to complete one project. You know, like for getting clients, you might want to be calling high schools or calling colleges or making presentations like you're doing, or meeting with a running group or meeting with different sports groups and reaching out to them. Might be involving, you know, working on your website, writing articles, blog articles. You know, there'd be many tasks that you're doing. And I think here's where people tend to go wrong if you're an overachiever or a sort of type A personality, which probably most of us are, if you're doing more than those three tasks per day, it's like trying to run a marathon at a really fast sprint speed. You know, you may complete the task, but you don't have any energy left to complete the huge project. And that's why, you know, just doing three things, not like 10 things or 100 things on the list is much more doable. And then it keeps you going in the marathon. It's like pacing yourself through a marathon. And so if you stick to those three tasks, then you get that steady, consistent growth that, you know, really gives you momentum sooner. So that's first we've got to review. We've got to choose one project to complete, and that's step one. And then step two is identify, you know, three tasks that you do each day that are related to that project. And then the next thing is do no more than those three tasks per day. If you can finish those three, and then you want to go to five tasks, that's fine. But just start with the three, so that it's more doable, so that you have that success experience. And when you complete the tasks, rather than, you know, you take your list of three, most people have this checklist, and then when you finish that, you know, we kind of cross that thing off the list that's done. But it doesn't really give a feeling of completion. It's like you're throwing away that task, and then there's always more waiting for you. You know, why not give yourself a completed list? You know, transfer those items to a list of tasks achieved, and so you put them, you know, on a second list, or just, you know, list a Word document or something. Just have, you know, two items to do, and then right below that, put items accomplished, and you transfer them to those items accomplished, and then by the end of the day, you say, oh my gosh, I did all three things that I was going to do. And they're listed right there. And then the next day, you've got three more things. You've got this growing list of items accomplished, and it's a wonderful feeling. You know, you can even set up a reward system, or you give yourself a reward each day for completing those, or a reward at the end of the week that you go see a movie or do something fun that you enjoy during that time to reward yourself for finishing those three tasks. It's really a great feeling. And so you want to, step four then is to prioritize your three tasks list each day. So your most important task, you know, you put as, of course, number one, and then number two, and so on. And it, that seems real obvious, I know, but not so many people do the less important task first, just because it's, you know, might be easier to do. And if you have trouble sort of getting into that list of things, then I think that's okay, actually. Because, you know, it's, however you want to get started with your list, that's, you know, the key is accomplishment. So just do the easiest thing first or the hardest thing first is okay, just depending on what your style is. But the easy or hard is not what determines your long-term success. It's your ability to, you know, just prioritize and make good decisions. That determines, you know, whether you'll get things done. So this is, if you can, you know, do sort of the hardest thing first, or think of it as the task that requires the most focus, if you can really dive into that and do it during the time of day that you have the most energy, like in the morning is good for most people, or sometimes it's evening for other people, then you'll have more a chance of success that way, you know, really. And think of it as like you know, 1 hour of, like last week we talked about you know, revenue generating hours. Do one revenue generating hour a day at least, which means doing something that's going to, you know, bring you in income either in the short term or in the long term, you know, to build your business. And so you want to be able to put that to work, to be able to, you know, do your, like, revenue-generating hour. That could be doing your number one task. And if you get done with number one, then go on to number two. It might take, like, 3 hours. Think of it as, like, three focus chunks during the day. It might be, like, you know, working 9 to 10 and then 10 to 11, 11 to 12 for your three tasks, and ask yourself, okay, what am I focused on for this hour? And really identify that and then write it down. And if it takes, if you don't finish the task within the first hour, then it's okay to go into the second hour with that same task. I think take a smart break in the middle, you know, take a do some stretches or go for a quick 5-minute walk and come back. And you don't want to just sit for 3 hours straight, because productivity tends to go down at that point. But the most important thing is to, you know, stay focused on that one task. It may be that, you know, you find out that, oh, that one task, number one, is actually taking longer and it needs to be broken down into three tasks, and that's okay too. You know, break that down into a list of three. So you just follow that rule of three. And so the most... So this is also the step that most people don't follow is that prioritization, to make sure you get, you know, the most important task done first. But yet the step four is the single most important step, I think, in the entire process, because your ability to prioritize determines your ability to make effective and, you know, efficient decisions, you know, those small decisions day after day about what you do with your time. Because it's... and it's your decision-making abilities what determines your future and, you know, how well you're doing. And really time is the thing that we all want. Those are the two things that people want the most of, I think, are more, you know, more money and more time. You know, time to be able to, you know, time equals freedom, right, to be able to do other things that we enjoy. So to get, you know, what if you could get, like, 10 more hours or 15 more hours of time each week? You know, that's what this is all about, the productivity, so that you can get more done in less time, so that you can have, you know, really use your time effectively and then have more time to you know, go out for your run or to enjoy, do the things that you enjoy. So step four is prioritizing, and then step five is, as I mentioned a little bit of before, rolling over any incomplete tasks to the next day. So if one or two or three of your three tasks don't get completed by the end of your day, you know, assign them for yourself for the next day and prioritize them, again, in a sequence of, you know, most important compared to the to least important to tasks that you don't roll over. It might be that, that one of the tasks didn't get done because it wasn't that important, and you can just put it, you know, in a sort of a different category or something to do later area, and that's okay too. And so these tasks that you roll over, it doesn't. The important thing is you don't. It doesn't increase the number of tasks you do each day. So if you, you know, if you did three tasks and then you didn't get all those done, say you only did two, then you put the next one of them into the next day. It doesn't mean you don't want to make it four tasks the next day. Just create that one and then two more. So you've just got three each day. So you're not feeling overwhelmed. You know, just keep it to three, and that way you'll be able to, you know, much more likely to complete those tasks. And remember to put them on an accomplished list as soon as you do accomplishments. And then what you want to do, step six, is to have what I call, have a rule, a sort of three-task meeting, you know, each Monday or, you know, at the beginning of the week. You can have a meeting with other people that you work with, or you know, someone you want to you know, just make an announcement about what your three things are, or you can just basically have a meeting with yourself. You know, where you actually, you know, you're the CEO and you're writing these things down. You just keep it private for yourself. But you have this meeting that reviews and sort of a, like a debriefing of the activities of the previous week. And then you assign the big tasks that you plan to do this week. So I think our mind really works in terms of, well, not only day three a day, but also in terms of weeks. It's really nice when you can kind of see a whole week, see the big picture of what you want to accomplish that week. So if you had three things each day, and you've got, let's see, 5 days, or if you work 6 days that week, you know, that's 18 things that you could accomplish. And so if you can see the big picture of how your week is going to kind of plan out, and how it, if you get into a roll with this kind of thing, and you get on a roll, you can really start to see amazing progress with doing your three things each day. And then being able to say, okay, I did that today, and now I'm going to do my next three things tomorrow. And it starts to really, and then, you know, you realize, oh, okay, if I got my three things done, I can turn it into, you know, I can add two more. But not huge amounts more, I'd say, stick between three and five. And that's why it's, I think, any project that gets assigned this, you know, your three tasks for the week, you know, it can run parallel with other projects that you want to complete, too. Let's say you've got two projects going on at once. You know, you've got maybe you've got one project one week and then another project the next week, but assign yourself a different task list for each project like that. So that's why it's critical to have this kind of rule of the three task meeting, so that you can, with yourself or with someone that you want to you know, just talk with about it, so that you can identify and prioritize not only your tasks for the week, but also your projects. So, you know, what it is that you're wanting to do. Maybe you're working on a book or something in conjunction with also trying to get clients. So that would be like two different projects that you're working on. And the next step is just don't, you know, you want to be able to just review what you've done and reward yourself, kind of R&R, I call it. Review at the end of the week what you've done, just like a logbook, like an athlete does. You take you look at the miles that you've done, and you can you know, reward yourself, feel really good about that. Take at the end of the week, take your your logbook of tasks that you've completed, and be able to look at that, analyze them, celebrate, and then realize, okay, if I did that many tasks this week, then I can really build on that for. How can I build on that for the next week, and create my list of tasks for the next week, and look at the whole week as a big picture, as opposed to just kind of surviving day by day. I know a lot of us feel like we're just sort of putting out fires every day, and there's some of that goes on too. Of course, there's unexpected things that come up, and so it's good to build in time for that too, for And if you get off track, then, you know, for a day or something huge, something breaks or whatever, who knows, the plumbing, your toilet tank breaks and your life goes down the toilet, you know, you might take have to take a day to figure all of that stuff out. It's okay to take your three tasks for that day and put them into the next day, but not forget them, but just reschedule them for the next day. Or if you can't get all three done, then try to get just at least one done or part of one done, so that you feel like you've got some sense of accomplishment. So you feel like you're moving forward each day with what you're doing, and you can feel some kind of success there. So, so that's my sort of little formula for your tasks. Number one, choose a project to complete, just to review this. Choose one project to complete, and then step two is identify the three tasks that you're going to do each day related to that, completing that project. Step three, do no more than the three tasks unless you complete those okay, and then you can add a couple more. And so you want to just stay on pace kind of thing. Think of yourself like running a marathon and staying at the pace that works for you. And then step four is prioritizing your three task lists each day so that you do the most important tasks first and the most focused tasks, so you really have that focused hour, that revenue-generating hour that you do first when you're the most focused, when you have the most time of the day, you have the most energy. And then step five, roll over any incomplete tasks to the next day, but just the next day, just make it three tasks as well, not 100, but just make it three so it's doable. And then have that step six is to have that weekly three task meeting with yourself or with someone else so that you review and debrief the activities of the previous week and then assign the kind of the big picture tasks to do the next week, the most important ones. And look down the road to, you know, like deadlines too, of when you want to get things done, and then work backwards to, you know, all the different tasks that need to be done for that. To get them done on a week-by-week basis so that you try to make your deadline. And that's why it's really critical to have that sort of weekly task meeting, three task meeting, so you can identify, prioritize the tasks of the week. And then step seven is just to review and to celebrate what you've done each week, to give yourself that credit. I even go out and buy gold stars at a Staples store or something, and you know, the little stars that we used to get in fifth grade, sixth grade. And if you've accomplished your task, you know, give yourself, actually, take a piece of paper, give yourself that gold star and for completing that your task that week. And then, you know, it's just something to feel really good about and give yourself some sort of reward for that. So that's my simple formula for getting things done. One of my formulas, I've got many more I can share with you in our upcoming weeks too. So let me take this off, open up the lines here, and ask you, what about questions that you have about that process or things that seem helpful for you with that? What was most helpful for you today? Anybody can jump in.
This is Brett.
Oh, hi, Brett.
Hi. One thing that helps me is sometimes when I create long lists of all the tasks, is stuff will get towards the bottom of the list, and then I'll start forgetting about it because I'll be focused on the top of the list. So putting my tasks into a mind map, if you guys don't know what a mind map is, it's kind of like a brainstorming web like you did back in elementary school. You know, so kind of each project's got its own little big bubble, and then all the little tasks I need to complete are offsprings of that bubble. Helps me remember things that may get pushed to the bottom of the list because your mind works differently when you look at a mind map, and then maybe create your top three rocks, is what I call them, from that. So that works well for me.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic, yeah. So, that's great to share what's working for you guys, what kind of system you use. Anyone else? Is that Pam or someone was trying to speak? Great job, Brett.
Thanks.
Yeah, or TJ?
Yeah, I really like your idea of having a list, like a what I've accomplished today, because I get so caught up in what I still have to do that I don't give myself credit for the stuff I have done. So I think that's really good, is to have a done list. So I'm going to try that. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, keep it going, I think, yeah, so it keeps constantly accumulating. And then at the end of the month, I mean, you've got all this list of things
yeah.
you've done.
Yeah, so thanks for that. And I have to go because I have a client. So bye. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Pam, or anything that you want to share, that things that work for you or what's on your task list?
No, I have lots of things on my list, and it's a matter of always narrowing it down to what I am going to do and not getting distracted from it. And
yeah.
That's my hardest, is not getting distracted from what's most important by the other things that come into my head. So that's my work.
Yeah. Right. So that's something that's... Yeah, there's so many things now, more things that can distract us with the Facebook and Twitter and internet browsing and texting and all this stuff that comes in. That there's a way that you can have kind of that sacred time where you, in the morning, you know, take that 1 hour to get things done before you check your email and before checking all the other things. That way you're in control. And, and when your mind is fresh. And then, you know, check in with the rest of the world, you know, after you've done your part, you've done your focused activities. Yeah, I find that then you get a lot more done that way. So, great. Yeah, great work. And Brett, do you guys have anything in particular to chat with your biggest project or, you know, for this week or this period of time?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, somebody's got background noise. I can just press the star 6 on your phone if you have some background noise to mute your phone, and then you can press star 6 again to speak. I was just asking what your tasks are for it. You have a particular task that you want to focus on this week or a project that you want to share, and then we can check in with you next time to see how it's going.
Yeah. So my task this week before the next time is my next presentation, which is keeping me on task because I have every, you know, once a month, but I have to do it because I'm going out of town, so I have to get it done. Actually, I'd like to get it done by the end of this week, which leaves today and tomorrow to finish my next presentation for my soccer player. So. That will be done actually by next Tuesday is the goal I just gave myself.
Okay. By next Tuesday. Okay, we'll check in with you next time and see how it's going.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Anything, Brett, do you want to say any kind of particular task that you're doing, working on? Oh, of course, if you're doing the course here too, that would be one priority to, you know, get through the modules and all. And other
things. Yeah, that's going to be on one of them. Trying to put together an education day for high school athletes where a bunch of college coaches come in and give a little talk. It's in association with a friend of mine that started a nonprofit up in Oregon called Base by Pros. So see how that project turns out.
Okay, great. Yeah. Are you in Colorado now?
I'm in Colorado now, yeah.
Yeah, right. Are you still in the program there?
Yep, exactly.
Right. Okay, great. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So we'll check in with you next time about how that's going.
Definitely.
So fantastic. All right. Well, I'll send you this. We'll have the recording up shortly here for this. And also I'll send out that pre-program questionnaire since both of you are talking about presentations and all. And TJ, that'll be good to have up there. I'll email that to you and also put it up in the members area. Okay, well, great. Great talk with all of you. Yeah, thanks. And we'll talk in 2 weeks on Valentine's Day, February 14th. All right. Thanks. Have a good day, everyone.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.